Are you blessed this morning? Glory be to King Jesus. I have a lot to share with you. Trust in God for speed so that we don't go beyond 11:15 thereabouts like we did last week. Glory to God. Favor flows from Jesus. Part 2. Can you turn with me in your Bible to John, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1 and verse 16? The Gospel of St. John, chapter 1 and verse 16. Thank you, King Jesus. I love you, Lord. And I'm going to read KJV, then I'm going to have Amplified Classic on the screen. Talking about Jesus, John said, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Of the fullness of Jesus. Jesus is so full. Out of his fullness, all of us have received grace for grace. What is grace? Grace is God's unmerited, unearned favor. The favor that you didn't work for, that you can't even work for. Grace is God in your race, bringing supernatural excellence, giving you acceptance with the people. Don't live life without favor. Life is hard without favor. The absence of favor is labor, toiling, hardship, hustle. Christians are not hustlers. Believers in Christ Jesus are not supposed to be hustlers. We work, yes, we work hard, we work smart, but every little effort that we put is magnified by an invisible hand of God called favor, or called grace. Somebody say grace. You would recall, this is not where I'm going this morning, but I just want to digress a little bit. In 2 Kings and chapter 7, you would recall that there was a scenario where there was famine in Samaria because the Syrian army had besieged, encamped around Samaria. And the famine was so grievous in the land that people were buying the fifth part of dove's dung for money. It's a kind of wild grass that normally you don't want to eat. But because the famine was so severe, they were eating that. And they were buying the head of a jackal, an ass, a donkey, for so much money because there was no meat in the land. It was so terrible that some two women agreed to boil their children. "We're going to kill this person's son tonight. We eat it. And then the other person's son tomorrow, we kill him and we eat him so that we can sustain." People had come down to cannibalism. just to survive. The famine was that grievous. May Nigeria never come to that point in the name of Jesus. It was that serious. It was in the midst of this gloom, one woman cried to the king as the king was passing by over the wall. And the woman said, "Hey, oh king, help me." And the king asked, "Where am I going to help you from? Am I God? Where's the floor to open? Where's the storehouse to open? There is nothing." There was poverty from the king's palace to the farmer's house. On every street in Samaria, there was real poverty. In the middle of that gloom, one day, the man of God, Elisha, prophesied as he heard. It's important when you're in the middle of a gloom in your life, the middle of a dark period, that you learn how to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4, it said, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak in season to everyone that is weary." He said, "The wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned." It's important that you hear instructions. As a child of God, learn to pray in the Holy Ghost and learn to listen for what the Lord is saying. Romans 8:14 tells us, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, not as many as are led by their brain, not as many as are led by the news, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Elisha woke up that morning in the middle of the gloom, and he brought a word from the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1. Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." 2 Kings 7, 1. "Hear ye the word of the Lord." Listen, O Israel, hear the word of the Lord. "Thus saith the Lord." Never joke with it. "Thus saith the Lord" in your life. Don't joke with anything that God tells you. His instructions are precious. That is what will take you to the next level of life. Elisha said, "Thus saith the Lord." Tomorrow, somebody said tomorrow. Today there was gloom, but Elisha said, "Tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." He told them what will be sold. He told them how much it will be sold. He told them where it will be sold. And at the end of that chapter, everything came to pass exactly the way the Lord said it. But in between, there was a man who said, "Hey, shut up, Elisha. Even if God were to make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And Elisha was quick to tell him, because Elisha was not a man that operated so much in long suffering and patience. He was a man of fire. You joke with him, you mess your life. "I know you're a senator on whose hand the king leans." He said, "But you shall see this prosperity with your eyes, but you're not going to partake of it." And it came to pass. Something began to happen in the realm of the spirit as that word was released. That word was a dominion word that went to the camp of some lepers. The lepers were outcast. They were not allowed in the city. They were outside the city. But something began to worry their head. Something began to trouble their mentality. Their mindset began to experience a stirring. They said, "If we stay here, we die of hunger. If we go into the city, hunger is in the city. Whether we stay here or we go to the city, we die. Okay, if we go to the camp of the Syrians, our enemies, they will kill us. They will not save us alive. But let us go peradventure. Let's go. If they kill us, we die. Let's take the risk." Lepers. Four of them. If you know anything about lepers, you know that sometimes their fingers and their toes and whatever, their nails are chopped off by leprosy. Leprosy can cut off people's fingers, right? And then they're not whole anymore. You are left with stubs or studs. That's what you are left with. Not the full thing anymore. So how much can they really walk like giants? Can they? They can't even. They are managing to walk because Leprosy was oozing from every part of their body. Now, but something happened. Something happened in the realm of the spirit. With every step that the lepers took, with each step they took, the Bible says that the Lord Almighty caused the army of the Syrians, the host of the Syrians, to hear some noise. They heard the noise of chariots. They heard the noise of horses, as though some countries had gathered together to come and fight them. And they said to one another, stop what you are doing. Let us run for our lives. Because the king of Samaria has contacted the king of Egypt, and he has contacted another king to come and help him against us. And they began to run. And they began to run. Some of them were cooking. Food was still boiling on the stove, on the gas cooker that they took to the war front. They didn't wait for the food to finish. They didn't wait for the food to be done. They left the camp, as it were, and they ran away. What point am I trying to bring out this morning? The lepers took some steps. Each step they took, God magnified it. You don't normally hear the footsteps of a leper. Even me, that I'm not a leper, the way I walk, my wife says it every time, says you walk like a spirit. When I'm walking towards you, you don't hear my foot. I don't drag my feet. I'm not some men that walk like, I don't understand how some men walk, even some women, the way they walk and drag their feet. No, the way I walk, I bounce. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now imagine lepers. But every step they took, God magnified. One thing I have come to understand about God, that God is a magnifier of steps. I pray for you. That thing is called grace. Every little effort you put in your life to improve yourself, to improve your walk with God, to improve your business, to improve your academics, God will magnify it in the name of Jesus. It is called favor. Somebody shout, favor! The Syrians left the camp with every step. One step. Boom. I wish this were some Hollywood movie. One step. Boom. They heard. We're not going to wait. Let's go. They ran. And they left the camp, as it were. All the food they brought to the war front, they left it. All the money they brought to the war front, they left it. The gold, the silver, the designer garments, they left everything. The gold earrings, they left it. Now, listen, who is that person in their normal sense that will be going to war and will take all their best clothes? You are going to war. You are not going to a party. But God was working on their minds. As they were preparing for the war and they were taking their clothes, God said, yes, yes, take all your best clothes, yes. My children need them. No, pack everything. Don't leave those ones. Pack, pack. Pack the shoes, yeah? We're going to have yard sales. Pack, pack everything. Pack the food stuff. Pack everything. Pack that computer. Take it. iPad, iPhone, take everything. Take. My children need it. Take everything. They didn't know the force controlling them. Don't mess up with God. And don't limit God in your life. If God chooses, he can use your enemy, your worst enemy, to bless you. Didn't the Bible say that if the ways of a man please the Lord, he shall make even his enemies to be at peace with him? This season, you will enjoy grace. Some people, all their lives, all they have known is labor, labor, labor. This is the season you will experience the favor of God in the name of Jesus. Everything you see in the old covenant has a connotation in the new. The New Testament is the Old Testament explained and revealed. Favor. Favor is a common concept that runs through the scriptures from the old to the new. Oh, Joseph enjoyed favor. He had the favor of his father. And the brothers envied him. And they sold him. But they couldn't kill him. The Lord ministered to my heart this morning. He said, you know, when I give favor, there is a purpose behind it. So let me run ahead of myself. I will preach this in future because time might not permit me to get there today. But let me just say this. The reason God gives you favor, if you're a believer in Christ, first of all, you must know that you have favor. According to John 1:16, out of his fullness we have all received. Have you received favor? Okay, three people understand that they have received favor. If you are born again, meaning you have given your heart to Jesus, you already have favor. Can I have an amen? So we're not asking God to give you something he has already given you. Do you understand that? Now, it would be a foolish prayer to ask God to give you something that is already in your pocket. All right? Now, you are blessed, according to Ephesians 1:3, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. All right? So, you have the favor of God, you have the blessing of God, both of them in your life. But the reason God gives favor, the reason God gives this unmerited favor is such that you can point men back to Christ. Finito. Amen? In the new covenant, I'll give you a picture of the old. Under the old covenant, I don't have time to read. You've read the story, all of them in Genesis, from Genesis 39 all the way to like 43. Joseph was envied by his brothers. They sold him out. They were going to kill him. One said, no, don't let us kill him. Let's sell him off. So they sold him off. And it was a terrible thing to do for a 17-year-old who was still writing jam, about to secure admission to UI. And then they sold him to slavery. So he was denied education. And then they sold him to Egypt to become a houseboy. While his mates were in school, he was there tending the sheep of his master. He was cleaning the house. He was cooking their meals. He was doing everything a houseboy does. And that went on for some years. And as he began to grow in that house, because he was 17 when he was sold there, he didn't have all his muscles toned yet. He was just bringing out his muscles gradually, like some of you guys, you know. You are not yet what you should look like. Right. In 10 years' time, your best look today will look very, oh, Lord, what kind of throwback is this? But today you think you're your best form. Yeah, I'm a very handsome guy. Yeah, everything is, oh, no. If you see your picture 10 years' time, you will say, oh, no, where did you get that from? Glory be to God. Can I have an amen? Because you're going to get better. Can I have an amen? It's not good for your past to be better than your future. All right? Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? So Joseph began to look more handsome. His being handsome was emerging every day. And then the woman of the house looked at him and said, man, come do something with me. You're a good guy, man. You're young, man. And the guy said, no. I'm not going to do it. Everything in this house is under my care, but not you, ma'am, because you are my master's wife. You are not my wife. And you know the story, the woman lied, and then they picked him up and threw him in prison. In fact, the Bible says they took him and put him. That's the way King James said it. He said, they took him and put him, took and put. No time for interrogation, no fair hearing, no, okay, defend yourself. How did it happen? Were you sweeping and then madam opened her legs and mistakenly you looked? No time for that. And this was very unfair because the woman kept pestering him every day. What kind of woman is that? Anyways, he wound up in prison. If it were some people, they would have died of depression in prison. If it were some people, they would have denied God in prison. God, to hell with you. I was serving you. I was keeping myself. I didn't want to sleep with the woman. And you couldn't deliver me from an ordinary woman. You allowed them to put me in prison. People don't understand that there is a purpose. When God allows and permits certain things to happen. It was in prison he met the chief baker and the chief butler of Pharaoh, who were also imprisoned. And the two of them had dreams. And because Joseph was still himself, original, whether he was in his father's house, dreaming and interpreting dreams, or he was in Potiphar's house, doing due diligence to his duties, or he was in prison, still ministering to the people. He was himself. They went to him. No, he went to them. He became the chief prisoner. And the chief prisoner committed everything to the hands of Joseph. And Joseph said, hey, why are you looking down like this? You too, why are you looking down? You didn't come to fellowship yesterday. He started a fellowship in prison. Singing to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Don't worry, when you get to heaven, you find that out. And they said, well, I had a dream, and he told him the dream, and Joseph gave him the interpretation. The other one had a dream, told him the dream, Joseph gave him the interpretation, and Joseph said to one, in 3 days' time or so, you're going to be restored back to your position, but you, in 3 days' time, Pharaoh is going to cut off your head. Sorry about that, but that's the interpretation. But for you, you're going to be promoted. But hey, guy, when it is well with you, please don't forget me. You know, we all do that sometimes. Your friends are going abroad and say, don't forget me, oh. And the Bible says that that man forgot Joseph. He did not forget. He forgot. Very long. Gat. But one day, somebody say one day. Pharaoh had a dream that troubled him. All his magicians, astrologers, all the wise men of Egypt, they could not decode the dream. They could not tell him what it was, and he was so mad. And while he was mad and he was giving an ultimatum, I'm going to finish these guys. You guys are getting my salary for nothing. You call yourself astrologers. You can't astrologize anything. You can't even see your somebody. So the chief baker said, chief butler, there was a Hebrew boy. I'm sorry. In fact, I committed a sin. I should have told you about him. When I was in prison, I had the dream. He told me the interpretation. The other guy had a dream. He told him the interpretation. Let's get that guy, sir. He will be able to tell you the interpretation of your dream. May God give you recommenders. Three people said amen. Recommenders walk behind the scenes. You are not there when they are recommending you to the king. They will say, I know a lady. Oh, Luchi. She might not be able to do this, might not be able to do that, but when it comes to accountability, she has integrity. Sir, this is her number. And boom, that's how you get the job. Can I have an amen? There are several positions that come by recommendation, not by qualification. Somebody's a favor. We all need recommenders in life. They are in meetings where you are not permitted to be. And they speak for you. So I remember that Hebrew boy. I remember him. And Pharaoh said, send for him. Pharaoh said it in his baritone. And they sent for Joseph. His beards were overgrown. He had been in prison for many years. For no just cause. For an offense he did not commit. But Joseph was not bitter. He was getting better by the presence of the Lord with him in the prison. You would read severally in Genesis. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord is with us. Can we thank God for his presence with us? Notice I didn't say the Lord will be with you. Because he's with you already. He's with you. He's with you. In the morning, in the evening, every time. If you're a New Testament believer, you have given your heart to Jesus, he's with you right now. Don't say, Jesus, come and be with me. Stupid prayer. Jesus, I thank you because you are with me. I am not alone. Glory be to God. Long story short, Joseph came. He shaved himself, first of all. He shaved the beards. Shave your beards, guys. If you want to keep long beards, trim it. Make it nice, presentable. Don't look like a prisoner. Some people's beards are very irritating, smelly. And some plaits their hair, they wear Ankara. They don't go together. They're two immiscible liquids. If you want to plait your hair, then wear the kind of things that people that plait their hair wear. So it will make the thing good. But you wear Ankara and you plait your hair. And you're on a bike. It's not nice. Some people are dressing for where they used to be. Some of us need to upgrade in 2025. Dress for where the Lord has brought you to now, not where you used to be. Joseph was in prison. He had the prisoner's garment. When they sent for him, he didn't rush out in the prisoner's garment. The Bible says he shaved himself and changed his clothes. The Amplified Classic says he made himself presentable. Never forget, life never gives you a second chance to make a first impression. That's why some people lost that job interview. Not because they were not qualified. They looked at you and saw what you were wearing. What is this? What is this?
And then some of you are talking to elderly people in an interview and you say, you know, you guys, when you guys sent me a mail, and they're like, oh, we guys? Really? My son said that in the house not too long ago. So, you know, so when I was talking to you guys, I said, who are you guys? He said, oh, I'm sorry, you, like you now, you are my mommy. I said, okay. Learn to speak and to say it right from now. Oh, you guys. And some say, you people. Nigerians say that a lot. You people. Maybe it was you people that sent us an email. You people sent us an email and we're here. You people. You people. You people. You lack courtesy. Simple courtesy. Let's move on. So Joseph interpreted the dream. And God, that day, promoted him. What he had lost in 13 years, God restored in one day. In fact, beyond what he had lost. Because even if he had gone to school in those 13 years, he was not qualified. He was not an Egyptian citizen. He was not qualified to become the prime minister of Egypt. He was a Hebrew boy. But you see, the brothers did him evil. They did him evil by selling him off to Egypt. But he said to them later in life when he met them, he said, you did me evil, but the Lord sent me here to preserve life. You don't understand that. Much later in life, when he had become big and they had grown older, there was a famine in the land. And Jacob, their father, gave them money and said, I've heard that there is food in Egypt. Jacob did not know that it was the son of his Bowel who was the commander of the armed forces of Egypt at the time. His son was the prime minister of Egypt. He thought Joseph had died because they lied to him that Joseph had died. He said, go to America. Go and get us resources so that we will not die. He didn't know that his son was the one in charge of the American economy. Those were not the days of social media that you would find him posting pictures and you find his profile on LinkedIn. There was no LinkedIn. There was no way to trace him. No way at all. But the hand of God was working in the background. Why did God give Joseph that much favor? He gave him that much favor because he was going to use him much later to preserve the lives of these people so that Israel could be preserved. They could have a posterity because they had an agenda in the calendar of God. One of the reasons, one of the major, major reasons that God gives favor is so that we can point people back to Christ. Can I have an amen? It is the reason you have the job you have. It is the reason you have the physique that you have. Some of you are so beautiful. People look at you and say, Omolili, why are you so beautiful? You're looking so good. And then you think, yeah, because my dad is handsome and my mom is beautiful. What do you expect? Hey, I have seen a handsome father and a beautiful mother before, and none of their children resemble them. And you'll be asking, hey, daughter Lele, who does this one resemble? If you believe what I've said, say amen. Yeah. You see some children, you would wish that they look like their mom. Because the mom is, the woman is just so beautiful. So when you're so beautiful, it is the favor of the Lord. It is not for sleeping around. Are you listening to me, ladies? It is to preach Christ. It is to point people back to Christ. You're intelligent. And it's like you are whiz, they call them whiz kids. I'm not talking about music now, I'm talking about English, all right? You are a guru, maybe for lack of a better word. You are so smart, you understand things very quickly. Don't think, oh, it's in my DNA, my dad is a professor, my mom is also a professor. Look, there are many professors' children who are not doing well academically, all right? It is the favor of the Lord that you are so smart. What the lecturer explains in 15 minutes, you have understood it very quickly and your mates are still grappling with it the whole semester. Why did God allow that to happen? Because he wants to use you to point people back to himself. Where the purpose of a thing is not understood, abuse is inevitable. That's why some guys impregnate ladies on campus. Because every lady likes a brilliant guy. Even if you don't have money, you are topping the class, chemistry 157. That's one of the craziest courses in the Faculty of Science in UI. And you are topping the class. You close your eyes, you can tell them. Some babies will come and say, oh boy, come on. No, they don't want to sleep with you. They want you to teach them. Well, I don't mind if you're my boyfriend. You know, I just kind of, it's okay. And then, zah, you sleep with that one. Zah. Abuse. God gave you that so you can use that to point people back to him. Are you getting what I'm saying? You were born into the family. You were born into favor of God because God wants you to use that to point people back to him. Whatever favor that you enjoy, it is because God wants you to point people back to Jesus. Favor comes from Jesus to you. Jesus now wants you to use that favor to route people back to him. We sang that song earlier. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Our lives from Jesus and unto Jesus. Can I have an amen? From Jesus and then unto Jesus. Why? Because he's the Alpha, the beginning, and he's also the Omega. So from him all the way back to him. Some people, when they smile will melt you into wax, even if you were angry before. This is coming. I'll fight her today. And then she just gives you a smile. I say, why are you smiling at me now? That smile that disarms somebody. Okay, so what do you want us to do now? Don't get angry now. Calm down. I'm trying to calm. Just a smile, oh, just a smile is a gift. It's favor. It's a manifestation of the favor. See, everyone that is born again has favor. Whether you are short, you know, some people just like you. This, I just like that lady. She's not short. She's summarized. You know, when you're summarized, see, I don't like comprehension passages. I like summary. You pop, 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 everything. You know, sometimes you see a very handsome man, he marries a woman, the woman is beautiful. You know what I mean? Everybody is beautiful. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Glory be to God. And you'll be wondering, why did this handsome man marry this lady? Hey, you know what? That lady is favored. It's all of you that are saying she's ugly. That man can see something that none of you can see. Ah, oh my God, I wish people understood this. Nobody, no child of God will ever have what is called inferiority complex again. See, because one of my legs is K. Ah, Omo, that's what the guy will like. The one gong that God has given you. You will see, a leg is not K. The way it is shaped is like a parallelogram. You see, I don't like trapezium. I don't like triangle, but I like parallelogram. They say, oh boy, oh, Ronnie, her legs are busy. No, it's a parallelogram. Man, when I see those legs, something happens in my head. Somebody say, favor. It is the favor of God. It is the favor of, have you not seen pastors that could not speak English and the church is filled up and they're spitting fire? I say, but this man, go Igbo. Do ba you come by Igbo ni gua. When Jesus was coming, he now was going. When he was going, he now say, and people are listening, backed up by the anointing. Favor. And you see another, we speak English, show the English of the world. Nobody's listening. 25 years of ministry, 25 members. Do you know that a church can have favor? Go to Acts chapter 2. I've not used my notes today at all. And I just think I will flow like that. Because if I go back to that note, I will begin to preach it. Acts chapter 2. And go to verse 47. What did the Bible say about the church? This was the new church that was born. The early church. The church born on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says they were praising God. The church. Now, so God gives individuals favor. God also gives the church. Because the church is the body of Christ. And Christ is the head of the body. Favor flows from the head down to the body. That's why if you look at your life, and it looks as though you are not experiencing favor, something is wrong. Because if you are part of the body,
Whatever flows from the head should touch you now. Abba, Abby, when you are in the shower and water is dropping on your head, should it not touch your body? Talk to me, church. You say, I just want to bath my head, though. And you are under the shower. Something is wrong. Jesus is the head of the church. Praising God and having what? Oh, no. Come on, talk to me, church. And having what? Favor is real. Like this favor is real. Some people never get help. It's not the plan of God. Nobody likes them. Nobody wants to have anything to do with them. It's not the plan of God. And if you're like that this morning, you can turn it around. Because maybe you have not received Christ into your heart. Come quickly, receive Christ, so you can start enjoying the favor that we enjoy. Because it is part of our redemptive package. It is part of our heritage in Christ to enjoy the favor of God. Are you getting blessed at all this morning? God is bringing this word now because he has given me a word for 2025. And he said there will be manifestations of graces. Grace is favor. In 2025, he said, I'm going to see things I haven't seen before positively in this church. So God is saying that he's going to elevate you guys. So we need to position ourselves now for what God is about to do. Praising God and having favor with how many people? Come on, talk to me. With how many people? White people, black people, Hispanic, Asian people, American people, Mexican people, all kind of people having favor with all. The church was having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be said. Can you imagine that? Now, God gave them favor for what? To point people back to Christ. This is the essence of favor. Your favor is not to be consumed on yourself. Your favor is to point people to Christ. Because they were walking in favor, the Lord added daily, not weekly, daily, daily. No service. People came to church to give their life to Christ. Favor. Expression House, we are moving into a higher pedestal of favor in 2025 in the name of Jesus. And the Lord said to me that these graces will not just be for ministry, but also for your businesses. Favor. And the Lord is teaching me currently how to increase in favor. Because I saw that you can increase. Don't stay on the same level. Luke 2:52. The Bible says that concerning Jesus. Luke 2:52. He increased in wisdom and in stature. And in favor with God and with man. So you can actually increase in favor with people, with God and with people. And I'm going to be teaching that in the new year. Don't miss church in the new year. Amen. Because we must leave the level. Some of you are enjoying little favor here and there. Just what we describe as mercy drops. Mercy drops round us are falling. We are leaving the realm of mercy drops round us are falling. We are moving into the realm of showers of blessing, showers of favor, where we will be drenched in the name of Jesus. Can I get a better amen? I was in Houston International Airport. It was, what did they call it? George Bush Airport in Houston, Texas. Years ago, I was coming back to Nigeria. I'd loaded my bags. My bags were overloaded. People gave me stuff, a lot of things, brand new things for my children, especially because those guys are favor, man. Man, they have favor. Because that was what I did when they were born. As they brought them out of the blood, the pool of blood. And the pediatrician cleaned my son up and handed him to me. I spoke favor into his ears. The first set of words that boy ever heard. Favor. Favor. You are blessed. I gave him a name that people don't bear. The name is Blessed. Blessed is not a noun. I turned it to a noun. Blessing is a noun, right? I named my son Blessed because I saw, according to Psalm 1 verse 1, blessed is the man.
and he is a man.
Glory be to God. My parents didn't understand that, but I do understand, so I owe their generation. When the sister was born, I did the same thing. I was the first person to see my babies. I was not an absentee father when they were born. I was present because it was a sacred moment you must not miss. You speak the prophetic blessing that will shape their future. And they know wherever you go in life, whatever you do, you serve the Lord because you belong to the Lord. That's why the daughter, my daughter's name is Onte Oluwa, the seal of the Lord. The seal is on you, the brand. You are branded. You are branded. When you are branded with that seal of iPhone, they don't mistake you for a Nokia phone. No. No. iPhone has its own logo. Am I right about that? Branded. Branded. When a car is branded Toyota, you don't take it for Honda. When it's branded Mercedes, you don't say, well, does it look like a Rover? No. Every car has its own brand. So say, this one is branded unto the Lord. Maybe your parents didn't do that for you. You can begin to do it for yourself now. You can begin to wake up every morning and decree and declare, today, as I'm going for lectures, I am blessed and highly favored. Can I have an amen? I was in that airport. My bags were overloaded. And the normal thing was for them to tell you, take out some of your stuff, trash them out. Sorry, you can't travel with them because you are entitled to a hand luggage, which is about maybe 12.5 kg, and then you have your two 23 kg bags, two of them, to go on the plane. My two bags weighed beyond 23 kg because they were heavy. And the guy before me, who was also coming to Nigeria, a Nigerian, the same thing happened to him. The immigration officer looked at him and said, well, I'm sorry, go and take out some stuff, take it out. The guy went to a corner, took out, and then came back. You know, I could see him grumbling and grudging. You can imagine you have spent money to buy certain things and now you have to trash them, or people gave you stuff and you have to trash them away. They weighed his bag again, it was still overweight. The man said, no. The guy was an Asian guy. Asian, he looked Asian. Scott, that was his name. He said, no, I'm not going to take this. So the guy went again. So I stood there. He weighed my bags. I saw the weight. I looked at him, he looked at me. He said, give me a minute. I said, okay. He went in to his supervisor. He brought a bag. He said, take out some from here, take out some from there, put it in this bag, and you can take this bag with you to the plane. Somebody say, favor. I didn't have to lose anything. So the guy that was before me, who saw the favor that just came to me, shouted, but why didn't you do the same thing for me? He said, excuse me, don't scream here. So, sir, then he faced me. Take some out, put it here. Do you understand me? I said, yes, I do understand you. I understand you. Glory be to God. Somebody, the remaining days of this year, you're going to walk in unprecedented favor. Favor like never before in the mighty name of Jesus. Favor in strange places in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus without favor? It didn't happen. When he needed to feed the 5,000, he fed them because of the favor of the Lord. What do you guys have? John chapter 6. Hey, we don't have much, master. Just a little boy's lunch. Bring it. Father, I thank you because you hear me always. Boom, it multiplied. Somebody say favor. Lazarus died. John 11. He needed to raise him up. Father, I thank you because you hear me always. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came back to life. Somebody say favor. What if he prayed and God did not hear? But did Jesus ever pray and God did not answer? Do you have Jesus? Are you expecting to have answered prayers? I'm trying to not go back to my iPad. Glory be to God. Jesus always functioned. When they need to pay tax, he just told Peter, Peter, you're a fisherman. Says, sir, yes, sir. We need to pay tax? Sir, yes, sir. All right? We need to give to Caesar what is Caesar's? Sir, yes, sir. Go to the stream, throw in your hook, the first fish that comes out, that comes to the hook, take it, open its mouth, you'll find gold coins there, go pay for yourself and for me. The moment Jesus said that, a fish swallowed money. The fish started swimming in the river, looking for Peter's hook. It had to locate the hook to go and hook itself. Because the master had spoken. His words can never fall to the ground.
If that thing was not yet in existence, if Jesus says it, it comes to reality. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is nothing you need in your life that Jesus cannot give you. Even if it is not in existence, he can manufacture it for you. Talk about the God that suspends protocol. He's done it for me time and time again. I was going to England in 2021. People told me it was during COVID. You need to take the shot. You need to take the blow, whatever. I said, no, I'm not taking that shot. I'm not taking that. I'm not preaching that. I'm not preaching shot or no shot, but I'm not taking it. My family and I sat on the table. We agreed. We took communion. That's our flu shot. That's our COVID vaccine. Do you know they might not allow you to fly? Somebody told me, Pastor, the G7 countries, they will not allow you to travel to their zone. So if you don't have that thing, you have to have the kidney go. And if you know you don't want to take the original, you can go and get a... we're on air. So I said, no way. I'm going to go. I'm going to declare in the form that I'm not taking the shot. I haven't taken it. I don't have intentions to take it. I bought my ticket. They allowed me fly. They checked me at the airport. They asked me questions. Have you taken your first shot, your second shot, your booster? I said, I've taken the word of God. It's my booster. The word boost me. Isaiah 53 verse 5, boost me. 1 Peter 2, 24, boost me. A whole lot of scriptures, boost me. My body receives life from the Holy Spirit that dwells within me. Glory be to God. I flew to England, and that was where the drama was supposed to be. I was in Heathrow Airport, and the guy that was interviewing me looked at me, asked all the questions. I gave him all the answers. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, God, make an enter. It was a night flight. I'd flown to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, and now to England. Very long flight. I want to quickly go to my people's place. They're waiting for me. I want to eat. So the guy looked at me and said, final question, have you taken your shot? I said, no. His eyes became very big. Like, what kind of human being is this? You're so weird. Like, then he said, do you realize what you have to go through for not taking the shot? I said, yes, I do understand that. Okay. Do you realize that you will have to, isolate for some certain days? I said, yes, I do. Okay, so how many days? I said, 10 days. Okay. You've made provision for that? Yes, I have. So, can you tell me the address? I was just giving number 7. Before I finished to the postcode, he said, okay, welcome to the United Kingdom. Have enjoy your stay. And I could see the guy looking at me like I was strange. Normally, if I didn't have the favor of God on my life and I wasn't conscious of it, I'll be jittery. I was as bold as a lion. When I missed my way, it was my first time in Heathrow. I didn't do like the typical Niger, and I'll be shaking. No, I went back to the guy. Same guy. You know, your Nigerian instinct to tell you, if you go and ask him, the person has allowed you in, what if he changes his mind? I say, we're not allowing you at all. We're deporting you. You're a dangerous species. I went back to the guy. I said, excuse me? He said, yes. I said, I don't know my way around. I'm trying to get out of here. He said, okay, so you go that way, and you turn that way, and you go that way. I said, okay, that way, this way, that way. He said, yes. Bye. I said, bye. Somebody said, favor. It works everywhere. We win souls by the favor of God on our lives. You sit with people and talk to them, and they give you attention. You know, some of you have presence. You've never had it before, I'm telling you. There is a presence with you that when you are in a place, you are not shouting. But somehow, people just notice. Out of 25 people, they just notice this particular guy. Who be this guy now? You are not shouting, no. Not, you are not. You know some people, they are very loud. When they get to a place, they want everybody to know they are there. They're talking at the top of their voice. Hey, how far now? Nigerians. I'm not talking about shouting. There is something about you. You're quiet.
But people are attracted to you.
It is favor.
And God has given you that so that you can talk to them and point them back to Him. Because they will say, look, you just exude this confidence in our class that even the professors like to hear you. When your friends are telling you that, be quick to tell them it is Jesus. And if you receive Him, you can have the same thing. It's not just for me. It's for everyone that knows Christ and has received Christ. I close today. I want to give you something to go with. Essentially, in this service, I have spoken from my heart. Have you been blessed? Are you sure you've actually got something? So I want to give you something. The challenge we have today is not that we are not favored. But the challenge we have is that not many of us know that we are favored. And you see, the devil thrives on ignorance. Thrives on what? Thrives on what? Many people think that it's their grandma in the village that is affecting their lives. Or one mama that doesn't like them. Or one devil somewhere. The devil is a defeated foe. Can I have an amen? Say with me, the devil is a defeated foe. Our major issue, major challenge is our ignorance. Ignorance. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. Let me wrap it up quickly. I have 9 minutes. Hosea 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for the power of the devil. Because the devil is so powerful. Is that what God said? Come and talk to me, church. Why are God's people destroyed? For lack of knowledge. Not because of the power of the devil. Are you with me, everybody? Many people glorify the devil, even when they go to prayer meetings. They speak more about the devil than Jesus. Every devil from my father's ancestry, what are you still waiting for? So my soul, die, 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 die. Many times. And they won't speak life. All night is die, die. Every evil house fly, flying around my destiny. Let the oil, the vegetable oil of heaven roast you, fire! Those prayer points are not biblical. Somebody sends them to me every day. He's a policeman. He's my friend. He's also a lawyer. I'm looking for the day we have time. We'll sit down and talk. Say, oh God. Every time. Every satanic. Every. When I see a prayer point, that's how every. Check what comes after. It's always negative. They don't talk about every blessing of Abraham. Every covenant blessing that I have through Christ, because they don't know who they are. They think they are still under the domain of Satan, so they have to remove every evil hand covering my glory. Remove. But when the glory is your glory is so small that an evil hand is now covering the glory. My own glory is the glory of Christ, because Jesus said in John 17, He said, the glory that the Father has given me, I've given to them. Can you cover the glory of Jesus? That person won't die. Ignorance. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In Proverbs 19 verse 2, the Bible says, for the soul to be without knowledge, it is not good. Proverbs 19 verse 2, also, that the soul be without knowledge. Without knowledge. Not without money. Without knowledge. It is not good. If the Bible says something is not good, get out from that thing. If the Bible says something is good, get into that which is good. I read in my Bible in Genesis chapter 2 that it is not good for the man to be alone. So I got married. Glory be to God. I also saw that it's for the soul to be without knowledge. You're just prone to. You don't know anything. You don't know jack. And I'm talking knowledge of God. Not knowledge that you are taught in the university. The university gives knowledge to your head. The word of God gives knowledge to your spirit man.
And it is the spirit that makes alive. The flesh profited nothing. And the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. According to King Jesus in John 6:63. Are you with me, church? Ignorance is not good. They know not. Psalm 89:5-6. Neither do they understand. Neither will they understand. 82:5-6. 82. Psalm 82. 82. 82. Yeah. They know not. Neither will they understand. They know not. They don't know. Neither will they understand. They walk on in ignorance. Ignorance is darkness. They walk on in darkness. And all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Are you what? Because the people that were supposed to manifest as the sons of God and the creation is waiting in earnest expectation of the manifestations of the sons. The sons are not manifesting because they know not. And they walk on in darkness. What you don't know, you don't know. But seek to know. It's not a crime to not know. Seek knowledge. You're a medical doctor, does not mean you can fly an airplane. You will crash it if you don't go to aviation school. But you can be a medical doctor and still be able to fly a plane. Knowledge. Knowledge. I have said, next verse, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. All of you, children of the Most High. He said, but in the next verse, you shall die like men and fall like the princes. This will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Why would they die like men and fall like the princes? Because they don't know. They don't know. They don't know. We once had a president who didn't know anything. You ask him a simple question on NTA. I'm not aware. Not aware. Do you know that they are killing people? Not aware. Aware? I know. In a nation of about 200 million population, how many of our politicians are aware of anything? They don't know figures. They don't know statistics. When you listen to some Canadian or American politicians, you almost want to eat their words. They can tell you, since inception, when we assumed office on the 23rd May, 2021, we started doing so and so. We recorded 26% growth in agriculture. When we moved on to healthcare, we recorded 16.5% growth, and then there was a depression. And then we had minus 1.0% in blah, 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 blah. And then there's so. Without looking at a tab, our own, they will write it for them. To even read it. I'm sorry, it's embarrassing me. I'm embarrassing myself. 605 billion. 605 billion. You said billion before. Why are you saying billion again? Who did this to us? And you wonder why the country is like this. On a platform, we're arguing. Somebody said, is it my English? Is it my... Yeah. Step up. Step up. Even you young people, step up your English language power, your English language proficiency, step it up. It will open doors in certain places. As far as you live in Nigeria, even if you go abroad, they do English tests. If you have worked as a medical person for 5 years or whatever you do for 5 years, and you're applying, you're now on your ILR, indefinite leave to remain, and you want to become a British citizen, you will write English tests. You've lived in England for 5 years. You will write English tests. There is a way English is spoken in England. A doctor friend of mine almost got into trouble years ago. A guy that went to ISI from staff school to ISI to UIUCH. His dad was a professor of biochemistry. He was not like me. My dad, not professor of anything. Good English, good background. He still had a problem in England. He was checking out a patient in a hospital in London. His supervisor was right there beside him, British. The man who was checking out was British. And so after cross-examining the man, he said to the man, I'm going to prescribe this medication because it's meant for old people like you. And you know, you're going to... The man said, excuse me? What do you mean old? He said, oh yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, this drug works better with old people, you know, to take care of old people. He kept repeating old, old. The man said, excuse me? What if I told you I wasn't old?
The next thing you'll be hearing from my solicitors, and he walked out. My friend said it was God that helped him. That's his own supervisor was a compassionate man. The man now recommended the book to him, How to Speak English in England. We can step up. Step up your game. Some of you, very young, Shireen. You know when we're all Shireen of God? Listen. You can say listen. 2025 is the year to upgrade. Can I have an amen? Amen. The first thing we're doing in January is capacity building. You must build capacity. Because if you don't build capacity, then you will limit the blessings that God wants to bring into your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? A cup has its own capacity. A barrel has its own capacity. When you want to cook, do you cook with the cup? A cup of water. Is that what you cook with? Will that satisfy you? So increase your capacity. I'm going to close now. Glory be to God. Well, my time is up, right? And I wanted to give you an illustration. Let me give you the illustration very quickly. I'm not quoting scriptures anymore. Let me just give you this illustration. Papa Kenneth Hagin wrote this illustration in one of his books. He said a baby lion was captured and was thrown into the... It was captured by a hunter. So the hunter took it home and threw it in the middle of sheep. He was rearing the baby lion along with sheep. So baby lion was growing with sheep. So he thought he was also a sheep. They will go for grazing. He will go grazing with them. He didn't like it, but that was what we ate in the family, right? One day they went to the stream for watering. And then a huge lion showed up. And of course, you know, when the lion roars, animals take cover for their lives. Every sheep ran away, including the baby lion. With his tail between his legs. They went another time. The big lion showed up. All of them ran away, including the baby lion. So one time, the baby lion, now growing, went to the stream to go and get water. As he looked in the water, he saw the image of that thing that usually scares them and ran away. But then looked back and said, nobody's chasing me. Could that be me? No. Do I look like that thing? No. So he went back to check. It looks like this is me. I'm the only one here. He moved to the left, the image moved. He moved to the right, the image moved. Ah! So this is who I am. I look like that thing. When he got back home, he didn't tell anybody. The next time, they all went again for watering, and the big lion showed up and roared, and all the sheep ran away. The little lion stood. The big lion crossed over to where he was. Lion met with lion. They wagged their tails and he followed the big lion. He looked at all the sheep. See ya! In another life. He joined his company. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, and I'm going to give you that scripture. Let me just give you that one. Proverbs, I think it's 29. As in water, face answereth unto face. Just like the heart of man to man. This is the only reason I'm opening my iPad. I'll just give you, because I want you to have the scripture and I want it projected. Yes, Proverbs 27. 27 and verse 19. Give that to me. 27 verse 19. That's it. Glory be to God. Amen. Proverbs 27, 19. Everybody, 1, 2, go. Let's read it. As in water, face answered to face. When that lion came to the water, face answered to face. What is the water? To know the water, Ephesians 5:26. The Bible talks about Jesus cleansing the church through the washing of the water by the word. The water is the word of God. If you want to see who you are, I'm closing finally. Listen, if you want to know your identity, who you really are, not who Google says you are, not who Siri says you are, not who AI says you are. You want to know who you are, you go into the water. This is the water. This is the water. This is the water. James in James 1:22-25 describes this water as a glass or as a mirror. The word of God is the water. The word of God is the mirror of destiny. Child of God, do yourself a favor. Get into this word every day so that you can see who you are. People will tell you you are not beautiful. People will tell you you are not qualified. People will tell you you are not loved. People will tell you who wants you here. People will tell you you are not educated. People will tell you, what do you think you are? You this thing. They call you a thing, not even a human being. People will tell you, you know, you are not smart enough. You are not intelligent enough. Hey, what does the word tell you? Are you going to believe what the people say or what the word says? Answer me, church. If you don't get into the word and open it daily to read and study and meditate, you will be hearing from the world. And when you hear from the world, they will tell you negative things about yourself. You will believe it. Your life will wind up like them. But you come to the word. You look at what it says about you. You believe it. You do what it says. You will become what the word says you become. This is the word of God. If you believe it, it will work for you. If you don't, it won't. God bless you. My name is Fred Elegbe, and I approve this message. Stand on your feet, everybody. Praise God. Amen. Father, we thank you. It's been an hour. I couldn't believe that. I thought I would just do like 45 minutes today, you know. But were you blessed? Somebody capturing the identity today? Has somebody captured the identity in Christ today? I will dwell more on that in the new year, okay? So I rest my case on favor for now. But I want you to confess favor every day. It's one of the ways you activate favor. Say it. Don't keep quiet. Don't be tired of saying it. Say it. I got a confession on favor from my pastor, the pastor of the Satellite Church, Pastor Oluwayemi. I got Luke 2:52 from him. And that worked for his children. And the three of them are my friends. They are blessed and highly favored. Faith got a scholarship. I'll never forget. This is our testimony. I've shared it before. I'll share it again. It's my microphone. Oriofe, how much was it when Faith was going for his undergraduate degree in University of South Florida? You don't share, you should remember. It was in the region of $27,000 to $34,000. Where is Toby? You should remember. You remember the figure? Ask Faith today. Ask him and come back to me. It was in the region of $27,000 to $34,000. If you're easy, make your run up. How much is $1,000 today? Minimum 1.7 million naira. 1.7. We still did some exchange a few days ago. 1.7 million. That's $1,000. Multiply 1.7 by 20. Let's even say it was $27,000. Let me multiply by 27,000. $1,000 multiplied by 27. That'd be 1.7 million times 27. So, somebody got a scholarship of 45.9 million. If you get admission now to invest in the US, and they say, come and pay 45 point something million. And you go, you say, Daddy, you, your daughter is going to America. I've gained admission. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's begin to go. Ah, that is not that. We have to pay school fees. How much? 27. Actually, it's a small money. It's just $27,000. I don't know that father in this house that will not say, you see, it makes all things beautiful in its time. It's not yet your time. But you know what favor did for Faith? Faith Oluwayemi. Favor granted him scholarship. Everything. Everything. He's a graduate today. He's even done his master's. The year he was supposed to come into the Expression House, moved to America. The same favor is still active. How many people have faith to tap into it? You will need to walk by faith. But the beginning of that favor is Jesus. Are you connected to Jesus? If you are, he can do anything for you. He might not give you $27,000 scholarship. He might raise a sponsor to pay the money for you. God has 1,000,000,001 ways of doing the same thing. To one blind man, he spat on the floor, made a spittle, put on his face. To another, just go wash yourself. To another, be it unto you according to your faith. They got the same result. They received their sight. Jesus is not short of the methodology to do his work. You desire to go to Canada or the United Kingdom or the United States for further studies. You don't bother your head how you're going to pay the bills. Do you have the favor of the Lord upon your life? Do you have Jesus, the source of favor? All eyes closed. I want to make this appeal. Don't just come to church and learn and laugh and go home. Be sincere with yourself this morning. Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Is the source of favor. If you have not, maybe you've been going to church. Your dad is even a pastor. Your mom is a lady evangelist. It doesn't count, nada. Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Every favor flows from him. If you have not, I want to pray with you this morning so that Jesus can come into your heart. So you can make him your Lord and your personal Savior. If you're in that category, lift up your right hand where you are. I want to pray with you. Right where you are, lift up your right hand above your head. Pastor, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. The King of favor, the source of favor. I want him to be my Lord. I'm my personal Savior. Quickly, I don't have much time. I'm closing the service now. I promised 11:15 is almost there. Anyone this morning? Maybe you've even given him your life before. You've given your heart to him before. But something happened when you went to school. You backslid. You visited some places you were not supposed to visit. You did certain things you were not supposed to do. But today, you want to reconnect with him. You want to reconnect with Jesus. God bless you. Slip up your right hand. God bless you, my sister. I see that hand. God bless you, my brother. I see that hand. Do one more thing. Step out. Step out. Come and meet me here. Let us pray. This is the journey into favor. Your journey into favor begins today. And there is no telling what Jesus can do in your life. He has given me favor. He wants to give you favor. I surrender all. I surrender all. The year is winding down. Come and surrender all to him. I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you, brother. I'm waiting for you, sister. Join us. Join us to surrender all to him this morning.